Welcome to The Making of You. I'm Alexandria, the founder of Your Transformation Hub and The Mastery Project. And this podcast is dedicated to understanding the whys and ways to transform the mundane into the magical, doable into enjoyable, successful and purposeful, all while having fun becoming the architect of your own life. Okay, let's dive in. Today's episode is 5 ways to harness your inner rebel. So, gosh, I think we can all say in our lives that we do want to be a little bit rebellious from time to time, or we might be on a continual rebellion, believing in the disruptor energy of constant change, transformation, and evolution. Wherever your position, my number one is, please ask yourself, who's running your rebellion? Is it your limited self, your ego, or is it your heart-mind alignment? Now, rebellion, if we look at it through history, rebellion can often be very destructive and very reactive. For me, sometimes we have to break the system in order to create something better. But in our daily lives and in our life path, I think one of the wisest ways to look at harnessing rebellious energy is to do it through balance and through creativity rather than destruction and reaction. So if you're in a situation where you feel like you've got no choice, you feel like you're being dictated to, you feel like you're being oppressed, or you feel literally that what you want to do doesn't feature in the choices available, then I would say immediately to harness the rebellion is not to destroy or react. Why is that? Well, generally, reactions and destructive behaviour come from our ego, come from our limited self, going, don't like it, trash it, or react against it. But remember, your energy is really, really valuable. Now, what happens with the ego is it hangs out in the office of the mind, and generally the limited self is reacting to things and using up your energy through reactions. But at the end of the day, there's nothing to show for the reactions. So my number one is, don't choose ego reaction. Don't choose sort of, I'm going to do it because that's what I like. Think for a second longer and go, actually, if I utilize my heart-mind alignment, I'm going to be in response. I'm actually going to be kicking off a chain of events through my choice to move into a journey that is for a better purpose, or for an improvement, for an authentic transformation, even evolution, that in the long term is, I'm really going to be proud that I did. So for me, harnessing your rebellion is about being in your heart center and saying, I am choosing to use my energy differently. I don't necessarily agree with the status quo or the tradition or what I've been told. But if I don't, I then have to go into my heart center, get busy, start creating, start connecting with what I believe in my true, authentic, personal perspective needs to replace what is. So heart-mind alignment, for those of you who haven't listened to any of my other episodes, I mean that your heart is the portal, the connection to the infinite flow of energy. And that infinite flow is available to everyone, but they do need to choose to be in that space. And often when we're feeling rebellious, of course, we are passionate about a certain choice or a certain way in life or a certain solution. And for whether that is self-loving or not, it is going to be the domain of a dream or a sense of doing something very different. And so for me, you're going to need fuel in order to get that process moving. So when you're in your heart, you're connected to that infinite flow of energy. Yes, it's immaterial. Yes, if it's a dream, you don't necessarily know the exact form. But that's where your mind comes in. For me, the mind is your capacity to administrate your life, to make choices that can practicalize whatever you're doing, and also bring whatever you want into form. So it's plans, it's lists, it's strategy. So if you're a rebel, sometimes you can get very, as I said, destructive or reactive because the ego is just going, don't like it, rip it up. Whereas if you're in your heart center, you're saying, I've got fuel and I really am capable of creating what I truly dream of and want. So therefore, I'm going to use my heart-mind alignment to get into that process and to create authentic, balanced, heart-centric, unique change that honours my rebellious nature in the sense I don't want to be inside the box, but it's also going to be a wise and intelligent use of my choices and my energy. Okay, number two. Already, with being a rebel, you can get very hot under the collar, very passionate, very heated. And what we've all got to look at is that just basically a whole lot of hot air? So my number two is, if you do want to shout very loudly, there's nothing wrong with that, shout very loudly, but be aware, what are you actually looking to create? What is the foundation of your passion, of your rebellion? And what is actually going to be, shall we say, the selling point or the attractive or magnetizing foundation of what you want to change? Because if you are becoming deeply emotional about things, sometimes people aren't really explaining or communicating what they truly want. So I recommend in number two that you detach, all right, before perhaps you say things that you might regret or before you literally create resistance for those who might be very much in your camp, you know, want to support you, but you kind of end up shouting at everyone and then you're alienating or causing resistance around you. So my number two is detach, step into balance, step back from what you would love to react to, what you'd love to blame, what you'd love to tear down, and say, hey, I acknowledge it clearly isn't working for me. But if I put all my energy into rebellion in the sense of reaction, I'm not actually going to have a plan or any message that is going to be coherent to form a base of support. So my number two is, detachment doesn't mean you don't care. It means that you are stepping into a balanced place so you can review what you're truly passionate about and understand your message. Now, my number three is, well, how do you practicalize passion? Because passion is often a spontaneous flow. There's nothing wrong with spontaneity, but it's simply to ask yourself these three questions. My rebellion, is it going to contribute to balance? Number one. Number two, is it going to contribute to the highest good of everyone around me? Am I going to make a difference that other people would like to get on board with? And number three, is it self-loving? Now, not necessarily in that order, but I do strongly recommend in number three that to channel your passion into practical transformations, you do need to consider those questions. Now, sometimes we are exchanging passion for frustration because we are simply in our heads trying to create rather than in our hearts. And a lot of people misunderstand that rebellion often is characterized as being quite extreme and it doesn't actually need to be. And some of the biggest rebellions in our world have been quiet, continuous, balanced, and extremely successful. Literally like a overtaking of the old, not through conflict or reaction, but through a unification or a reunification or a reformation of the particular circumstances, and that has been very beneficial for a lot of people. But when you're in your head trying, you're not actually authentically creating. So for me, ask those three questions, all right? Am I self-loving? Am I in a balance point? Is this going to be for the common good, the highest good of all? And also ask yourself, what alternatives, what benefits are going to happen because of my rebellion? who can I join with, who resonates with my particular message and my realizations? And also, can I distill my passion into a very simple message, but also it's enriched with the inspiration that I'm feeling when I think about it and when I want to be in that particular rebellion. So it's understanding the nature and recognizing that you're not trying, you are truly committed to creating whatever that reformation, whatever that evolution is. Okay, number four. Right, if you believe that you've created the next $1 billion investment, how are you going to be able to sell that particular rebellion? Because some rebellions are simply very important alternatives that, yes, they might challenge the status quo, but they can, of course, be very supportive and very successful. So what I find with some people is they get incredibly hyper with whatever their dream is or whatever their passion or rebellion is, and they don't actually have an unfolding vision. They have a lot of stuck energy that is bouncing sort of inside them, but they're not able to explain it, they're not able to get their message across, and sometimes they can get a little bit polarized and feel when people say, can you just slow down a little bit, they take it very personally and start reacting or sabotaging themselves or doubting what they're feeling. So my number four is, if you have got some brilliant ideas, do yourself a favor and write them down, okay? Then do yourself a favor and chill overnight, not because that's going to reduce your passion. It could be the complete opposite, that it fuels you further, simply because when you reread what you've written, you start to appreciate that your particular brand of rebellion is actually really useful and is going to help a lot of people. So getting that unfoldment of your vision, getting the unfolding path, is one way to be able to ground and harness that energy of passion when other people might simply go, you're nuts, or they might simply misunderstand, or you take it personally and then start arguing with them because people aren't responding to what you have to say like you wanted them to. Okay, number five. Right then, well, the universe wants to help any authentic transformation because that's what the nature of the universe is. And of course, rebellions are for the highest good of all, for the common good, and that will be a genuine and lasting benefit. Of course, the universe wants to fuel those too, because they're all about loving consciousness. So the other aspect with your inner rebel is that sometimes you need to be patient and sometimes things need to fall together organically, and the path needs to unfold through some pretty spontaneous and interesting meetings. Now, some people might go, oh, that's a bit random. Well, it is perhaps more a case of the universe knowing how people will want to be joining your personal rebellion. But the key is that you need to be fully committed and at peace and have the patience for it to unfold. So my number five is, simply remember that if you are going to fulfill this particular intention in both the simplicity, you do need to allow also to co-create with the greater universe. Don't think rebellion equals I'm on my own, I've got to do it all myself, or no one understands me. It's giving the greater universe the opportunity through your heart-mind alignment and through whatever the other points I've made today, to understand you, to nurture you, and to support you in this co-creation. Yes, other people might not understand it, but if the universe can't align with you, then it's going to be a very big struggle to bring into reality. So my number five, keep it simple, allow the organic unfoldment, and rebellion doesn't equal on your own, all right? Really invest in that partnership and trust with the unfoldment and faith in your particular chosen rebellion. Okay, it's been my great pleasure to talk about harnessing rebellion into perhaps authentic transformation and evolution. And if you like this content, if you're inspired, if you learnt anything, please don't hesitate to like and subscribe on your chosen podcast platform. Or if you want to go direct to source, then you can go to yourtransformationhub.com, and there's early release episodes there. There's episodes that you don't see on the other platforms, interviews, and lots of diverse subjects and how-tos and go-tos to support you in enjoying creating your life and becoming the architect of that life you're meant to have. Thank you very much.